Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you live and that our very life is in your hands. Father, as we look at Jonah, let us see ourselves and see how we can be more like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Anybody know who Jerry Clower is? I'm going to ask y'all's forgiveness because I'm going to try to tell a Jerry Clower story. And I'm no Jerry Clower. That is, without a doubt, my favorite comedian of all time. There's a funny story. I'll tell it at another time, or you can get my wife to tell you about how mad she got at me about Jerry Clower. But that's a story for another time. Jerry Clower tells the story about a man who was getting on a train, and he told the porter, it was at night, train was leaving the station, he said, I have to get up in the morning and get off at this particular stop, but I sleep through my alarm. So the porter said, don't you worry about it, I will get you up and get you off this train. You don't have to worry about it, I am used to it. The man said, well, look, you need to understand, I can be a little violent when I wake up. And he said, don't you worry, I can handle it. He said, I will get you off this train. So the man goes to sleep. He wakes up the next morning, 2 hours past the stop that he had to get off for a business trip. This man was forevermore angry. He was upset. He found that porter, grabbed him by the throat, thrown him up against the wall, said, I thought you was going to get me off this train. It took 5 people to calm this man down. The only way they ever got him calmed down was that they got him on the phone with the president of the railroad. And the president of the railroad promised that any money he had lost because he didn't get off the train, the railroad would pay him back. The man got off the train, went on his way. The porter said, whew, mercy, have you ever seen anybody so angry? The other porter said, yep, I have, one other fella. He said, who was that? He said, the one I put off 2 hours back. Jonah is angry. Look at verse 1. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Anybody ever been very angry? Amen. I've been married 30 years, almost 31. I'm going to tell y'all about the time that I got as angry as I have ever been at my wife. And it was just a misunderstanding. But I have never been so. She will tell you, I have never been that mad. We were blowing insulation in a house. Anybody ever done that? So somebody has to go up in the attic. I hate attics. And you take a hose that stretches all the way into the attic. And in wherever you come into the attic, there's a machine. And you feed insulation into that thing, and then the dude in the attic with the hose is blowing insulation. Okay? Have you got that picture? We have done this multiple times. I'm always lucky enough to be the dude in the attic. She's on the ground feeding insulation into the machine. We have to stop every so often so she can readjust the machine. She stops. As she stops, it's August, okay? We only get in the attic in August. So I need a break, and I have laid the hose down, and I am making my way back to get out of this attic for a minute. When she pops her head up and she says, are you ready? And I said, no. What she heard was go. Now, I am partially from the hose, I'm partial way from the hose to the exit to the attic. Neither one of these I'm going to make as I hear that machine come on and I see the insulation vibrating through the hose, and it gets to that end and that thing is pointing straight at me. And I am covered from head to toe in insulation in an attic in August. I became very angry. But it was a perspective issue. You see, I was looking at this situation from my perspective. Jonah is looking at this situation from his perspective. And he's angry. He is about to witness one of the greatest revivals in history. And he's angry. Look at verse 2. So he complained to the Lord about it. Read that again. Listen to it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Look at verse 3. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predict will not happen. Did you hear something in that that's a little out of place? Jonah has having a conversation with God, and what does he talk about? How many times in there did he say, I said, that's the first, I said in verse 2, I said, before I left home. Now, this means that he's lectured God. I said you were going to do this. That's why, if you go all the way back to chapter 1, we remember that God told him to go to Nineveh and spread the word. And all we heard, all we saw up to this point was Jonah said, I'm not going. He went down there to the port and bought a ticket and left. But there's a conversation that happened here. And he's lectured God. I said before I left home you would do this. Now he's told God the reason he's not going is because I'm going to go over there. I'm going to tell them people about you. They're going to get saved, and you are not going to kill them all. So I ain't going. Ever had a conversation like that with God? This is the part where you expect the lightning bolt, right? Right? Just kill me now. That's my favorite part. Just kill me now, Lord. You ever been there? I've been. Just kill me, Lord. This is nuts. You know, I know one other person in the Bible that I think was this mad. I mean, he's just mad at God. Turn with me over to John chapter 11. I want to show you a story that you all know very well. John chapter 11, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles away from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead. Now I'm going to tell y'all, that language is cleaned up. Because This ain't a, oh Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not be dead. As we know a little bit about her, she's a little high strung. Y'all ever met anybody high strung? She's not waiting on Jesus to get to her house. She is going out to meet him, and I bet she's stomping mad. You ever been stomping mad? When she gets to Jesus, I bet she's wagging her finger in his face. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. She had the same problem that Jonah's got. And it's the same problem we have. We keep looking at our lives from our perspective and not God's. He had something amazing planned in raising Lazarus from the dead. And he had something amazing planned for Jonah. One of the greatest revivals in history, and Jonah's going to miss it because he's mad. You ever been really, really mad? Most of the time, like these stories, it's a matter of perspective. Look back at Jonah. Verse 4. The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" You ought to underline that verse. It applies throughout history and most of the time when you're really angry. Go read that verse. The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" That kind of reminds me of a mother with an irrational toddler. Some of y'all can remember that. Calm down. It depends on how we look at situations as whether or not we're going to get angry. This situation for Jonah, as hindsight, as we look at a 30,000 view of what's taking place here, we go, how on earth can you be upset? People are getting saved. How can you be upset? But he is so beside himself. Think about your life. Think about the times that you've been so upset. A lot of times it's over nothing. And it's perspective. I had this illustrated for me on Friday. I doubt that you will ever meet anybody who loves the State Fair of Texas more than me. I have a season pass. Okay? I absolutely love it. This year was a little different because for the last 20, I've had a sidekick. So I waited. I wasn't sure I was going to get a season pass this year. I wasn't sure. But my work is crazy right now, and I got to a place on Friday. I said, I'm going to the fair. I told him at work, I got to get out of here. Y'all have a great day. I'm going to the fair. So, I didn't have my season pass. Usually I have it weeks in advance, but I didn't have it. So, I get to the fair. If you want to hear a story about my wife getting mad at me, ask her about parking at the State Fair. Because it's an adventure. Grant and I love it, but it's an adventure. She hates it. So I go through this adventure of getting a park, and no matter where you park, you got to walk. And I walked, and I went through security, and I got to the ticket gate, And the lady says, we don't take credit cards. We only take cash today. I had the same look on my face. You only take cash? Have you lost your mind? Well, I always carry a little bit of cash on me, but I don't ever carry much. But I haven't been to the bank since we dropped Grant off. And the last thing I did before we dropped Grant off was I gave him every bit of cash I had in my wallet. And so here I am. I'm at the state fair. They won't let me in because I don't have cash. Now, I have parked. I have walked. I have been through security. I have fought the crowd. And here I stand. Now, wouldn't you think somebody should have put a sign up before all of this? Look, our credit card machines are broke today. We only take cash. But they didn't. So, I'm standing there. I'm thinking about getting mad. But then it hits me. This is perspective. Whose fault is it that I can't get in? Theirs or mine? It's really mine. Because if I'd had cash, I could have got in. Right? Now, I can get mad because there's no sign. My memory's going to be ruined. Or I can go back to the car. She said, there's a place across the street that has an ATM. Anybody ever been to the state fair? Y'all know where that is? I ain't going any place across the street from the state fair and put my ATM card in anywhere over there. None. Zero. So I go back through security, walk back to the car, get in the truck, drive 10 miles to find an ATM, to come back to do it all again, to get in, to get this. And I'm thinking to myself, this is my fault. Had I had cash, I would have one of these. Had I bought it earlier, I would have. Like I always done, I would have got it in the mail and I would have been fine. It's perspective. How many times you think back on how the times that you have gotten so angry because my wife heard go instead of no. Think about the times in your life you get so angry because your perspective is wrong. It is so clear to us reading this story. Jonah's the one with the problem. Not God. And yet God loves him. He doesn't evaporate him from the earth. He lovingly talks to him. Is this right? Look at verse 5. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made shelter and sat under it as he waited to see what would happen to the city. If you remember when Jonah went into the city in verse 3, he told them, if you don't repent 40 days from now, God's going to destroy this. Okay? So he's gone out there to sit under this tree and sulk for 40 days, hoping God's going to change his mind. That's mad. Verse 6. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head and shaded him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Wait, it gets better. But God arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant and it withered away. And as the sun grew hotter, God arranged for a scorching wind to blow on Jonah.
The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Who owns the plant? Who owns your life? Yes, Jonah recanted, even angry enough to die. He still doesn't get it. He's still stuck at verse 1, that I told you, I said, I knew, I. It's perspective. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant that you had nothing to do with. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention the animals. Shouldn't you feel sorry for such a great city? It's perspective. Our objective is to transform our minds from being focused on us to being focused on God. To seeing life from His perspective. That's the only reason you will ever stop being angry about dumb stuff. And it's the only way you can ever stop looking at life from a human perspective. You have to do something different. You have to do something different. Anybody know who Pascual Perez is? Ever heard that name? If Jack thinks long enough, he'll remember it. Laura may come to her mind in a minute. He's a baseball player from the 80s. He got traded to the Atlanta Braves. And if you go to Atlanta today and you ask them about Pascual Perez, any old-time baseball player, fan, they say, oh yeah, and then they're going to tell you this story. Okay? I remember it like it was yesterday. My mind is full of useless information, and I don't know why. But I was coming through the house. My dad watched every Atlanta Braves game there ever was. Okay? And I watched occasionally, but today I stopped because there was this buzz about this brand new pitcher that they had just traded for, and they couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. He was supposed to pitch that night, and nobody knew where he was. And I stopped because my favorite baseball player of all time, Phil Niekro, was warming up. He wasn't supposed to pitch that night, but nobody can find Pascual. So here's the story. I'm going to give you a little map of Atlanta so you can understand this. Okay? Here's I-20. I tell you, one day we're going to afford markers. Here's I-20. And here's I-85. Okay? I-85. In those days, the Braves played at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. And it sat right here. Okay? Pascual, at this point, speaks no English. And he just got his driver's license that morning. He's excited. He's going to drive himself to the game. He lives right up here. Okay? They said, all you have to do is get on I-85 and go south. You'll get to the stadium. Okay? He misunderstood. When they said I-85, what he heard was 285. Now, if you know anything about Atlanta, there's an interstate called 285, and it does this. Okay? To make that entire loop takes 1 hour. Without traffic. This was 1980. Okay? You can make that in 1 hour. Pasquale made that loop 3 times. He drove for 3 hours until he ran out of gas. Every female in here is going to tell you all he had, once he made it once, all he had to do was stop and ask directions, right? But as he keeps going around and around and around, he's never going to get here. He had 4 chances. Any one of them would have took him right there. Right? He had 12 chances. Keep going around. All he had to do was take one of these roads and go in here. But he just kept going around and around and around. Until we change our perspective and start looking at our lives from God's perspective, you're never going to get here. You're just going to go around and around and around. And you're never going to see what Jonah missed. There's a Nineveh in your life. Something God's going to do that's amazing. But if you're so mad, or you're so focused on I and me and my and what I want, you're Pasquale Perez. You're going around it and you're never going to get there. What God wants from us is surrender and focus. As long as we keep trying to get the people in our lives to do what we want, if they would just act this way, if they would just do this, if this would just happen, you can have a whole list of things. All they are circles going around and around and around. Focus on the only thing that matters, and that is, what does God want? That's going to change our lives. This story ends abruptly right here. We don't know what happened. In terms of, did Jonah ever see the incredible thing that God did? Did he ever see it? Don't reach the end of your life after driving around in circles and never see what God did. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you love us enough that no matter how angry we get, how upset we are, that you still love us. That you have a plan for us. You have a plan for our life. Father, let us open our eyes and see it. Let us refocus our perspective onto the only thing that matters. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.